to announce from Zurich, Men's League Switzerland, U.S. program, Austin Matthews.
In the penalty box, Nylander gets an extra shift. William Nylander shoots. He scores! Coach played a hunch, and the kid has his first National Hockey League goal.
Welcome to this special edition of the Tipitara Podcast. We're talking about everything Jimmy Vesey today with the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Buffalo Sabres, the Rangers, every team that you've heard linked to Jimmy Vesey. We're going to try and go through it here real quick. Joining me, as always, is Jake Middleton, and joining us from Italy is David Morosuti. It just seems like everybody on Tipitara except myself is going to Italy, so I don't know what that's all about this summer. But Dave, Jake, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much. I was shocked you didn't get the email about it. Me and Dave planned this.
Damn. I gotta check my DMs then, you know? Slide up in the DMs and let me know what's going on next time.
Exactly.
Yeah, Chris, you're missing the summer of Italy right now.
Yeah, what's going on with this? Like, I don't understand. How the heck did you guys both end up in Italy?
Well,
I know Jake left a bit earlier, but
yeah. I don't know. I mean, the economy in Europe's pretty bad, so things are a little cheaper for us. It seemed like the right time to go.
Well, somebody who loves Italian food, and he made that known on his previous interviews, is Jimmy Vesey. So let's talk about everything Jimmy Vesey here. Recently, there was a couple reports that came out with his deadline looming of August 15th, where he can, you know, become a free agent and sign with whoever he wants. WKBW's Matt Bove thinks that the Sabres are unlikely to sign him. I think we can all kind of agree with that. Joe Haggerty of Comcast Sports New England thinks that Vesey's unlikely to sign with Boston, but he also thinks that he's unlikely to sign with Toronto and Buffalo, and thinks Chicago, the Rangers, and surprisingly, the New Jersey Devils are the front runners. Jake, I know how much a fan you are of Haggerty, so I feel like that's more than valid towards you. And then there's been other reports that suggest that Vesey and his reps said there is no front runners. So obviously, you can tell it's a little bit hazy in terms of what's going on here. Nobody really truthfully knows. Do you guys feel there's a front runner at all?
I don't. I honestly don't think right now there's a front runner. I think this group is just trying to find the best situation for Vesey. I mean, if you're going to say a front runner, it's just a team that's going to give him the best option in terms of a good future and winning opportunity. I mean, you could say maybe Chicago would then technically be the front runners because they're just the best team out of the whole group. So I guess you could call them the front runners, but you just don't know what he's looking for because every team is just going to offer him the same exact thing except for the situation that he's going to be going to.
I can see that. I mean, it's hard not to argue against Chicago considering all the recent success they've had. Jake, I mean, is there anybody that stands out in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Chicago, I mean, that's just the place to be right now in terms of just winning and the culture that they build and the players you get to play with and the city you get to live in. I mean, Chicago, in my opinion, should be the favorite for any player if you're just picking it based on situation. But, I mean, obviously for him, there's other attributes to it, like maybe he wants to be a star player or wants to build a championship or has a certain way of living or maybe doesn't like the violence going on in Chicago. I don't know. But, I mean, in my opinion, Chicago's got to be the number one on the list.
Yeah, playing next to Taze and Kane doesn't hurt either. I don't see how people wouldn't want to play in Chicago, and I hate to kind of put a damper on the hopes of other teams here, but I agree with you guys. Chicago is by far the best place to play right now. Something that we were talking about doing was pitching as if we were the teams to Jimmy Vesey, why you should come join such and such team. We narrowed our list down to six teams here, so we're going to go through the Buffalo Sabres, the New Jersey Devils, the Boston Bruins, the Chicago Blackhawks, the New York Rangers, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Obviously, being a Toronto-based podcast, we want to see him with the Leafs, but you know, that doesn't look like that might happen right now, but we're going to give our best pitch here for each six of the teams, and we'll see what we come up with, and hopefully BC will end up in Toronto, but I don't know about that, guys. So we'll go through, we're going to do it Buffalo first, then we'll do Jersey second, Boston third, Chicago fourth, the Rangers fifth, and the Maple Leafs sixth. So I'll start off here with Buffalo. Jimmy, man. We got the young core. We're with Eichel, Ristolainen. We flew out to see you. We brought Tim Murray, Dan Bylsma. We got your old coach, Jerry Fortin, who's a scout for us, so you know there's some familiarity there. Terry Pegula is committed to winning again. Did I mention we got Jack Eichel, your pal? You know, Hobie Baker, Harvard, that whole connection. How nice would it sound for Eichel to VC or VC to Eichel for the next 10 years? Come to Buffalo, build a championship team with us. We're on the right track. We got a bunch of young pieces. Again, Eichel. Did I mention we have Jack Eichel? I don't know. I don't got a whole lot for Buffalo guys, but that's my safest pitch there.
That's really the best pitch you could give for Buffalo.
Well, what am I going to say? Move to the beautiful city of Buffalo, New York? Like, come on.
Like
Hamilton.
Tim Russell can use geography for Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, we're really close to Toronto. We're halfway between Toronto and, like, I guess we'll reach and say New York.
Yeah, I guess.
We'll move on to New Jersey. Jake, you got New Jersey. You can feel free to pitch Jimmy VC here.
All right, how's it going? Hey, Jimmy. This is right now speaking is Josh Harris, the owner of the New Jersey Devils. I'm here with Dan Bylsma and John Hines. Obviously, Dan Bylsma here is – or not Dan Bylsma. What am I saying? I'm
Ray
what's
Shiro.
The Ray Shiro. Ray Shiro, so my apologies. Ray Shiro here is obviously one of the best GMs in the entire league. Look at what he just did to Edmonton. He basically just took their second-best player for an average defenseman. I mean, we are building – obviously, we don't have the superstar center down the middle, but we do have two superstar building blocks in Taylor Hall and Corey Schneider. You got a great place to live here in the New York, New Jersey area. You could live in Hoboken, which is right down the way from Newark. We have a great brand-new arena with an excellent practice facility. By the way, did I mention that you get to live in Hoboken, which is popular for kids your age, college-age kids, and you're next to the greatest city in the world? I mean, I also add in the fact that we have three Stanley Cup titles in the past 20 years, something that a lot of these other teams can't attest to. And obviously, this is just a great organization. I mean, top to bottom, we've never had the financial support that we've had with Josh here. Obviously, his cash influx to the franchise is going to help us be a cap team, and hopefully you can be a part of bringing a Stanley Cup back to New Jersey.
All right. You know, that's pretty compelling for New Jersey. A little more than I thought we'd hear for Jersey. Let's do Boston. I'll do Boston real quick. Jimmy, it's Don Sweeney. You know me. I know you. You've been here all your life. Boston's your hometown team. You got the Jimmy Hayes connection. You've seen the way we treat hometown players. You've rooted for us your whole entire life. Your dad played here. You could keep the VC legacy going. Who wouldn't want to stay in Boston and be a hometown hero? You saw in 2011 we won a Stanley Cup, the effect it has on this city. You've seen the city of champions for the past 2000, from 2000 to 2010 with the Bruins, the Celtics, the Patriots, and even the Red Sox. You've seen what winning a championship does to this city. How would you not want to be that guy? History, tradition, community, we got it all here in Boston. I know Jumbo Joe is your favorite player, and things didn't end the greatest with Jumbo, but your buddy Torrey Krug's here. You know, you two are pals. You play on the national team together. You got a good chemistry going. You two could lead the Bruins into the future. You could be the next Boston Bruin guys. You got myself. You got Ted Donato. We're Harvard guys. You know how Harvard guys take care of each other. The connection's here. Your family's here. Stay home in Boston, and let's build a title for the Bruins, Jimmy. Then we'll move on to Chicago Blackhawks, which is probably the easiest pitch.
No, it's the hardest.
The hardest pitch, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, take care of the Blackhawks, buddy.
Mr. VC, Stan Bowen here. By the way, I got Joel Quinville, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane in the room. Oh, also, my father, Scotty Bowman, has decided to sit in with us. Do you want to win a championship? I think we've won a couple of championships over the last few years. Do you want to play with Jonathan Toews on the top line? Okay, you don't want to play top line? That's fine. You can play with Patrick Kane on the second line. No, you want to play with a guy like Marian Hossa? You can choose whatever you want to do, Jimmy. Just come here and help us win another Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I feel like the Stanley Cup pitch is the way to go.
That will be the pitch.
Okay, let's move on to the Rangers then. Jake, I know you're a New York guy, so just like New Jersey, the Rangers is all yours, buddy.
All right, here we go. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going? This is the New York Rangers here, and I'm joined with Ryan McDonough, my captain, and obviously a friend of yours, Kevin Hayes, a former another Boston kid. What wouldn't you like about coming to Broadway and bringing a Stanley Cup to New York? Did you ever look at the Stanley Cup parade in 1994? That city adores us, and they still do. Thinking back on that, ending that title drought, wouldn't you want to do that here in New York, which is the greatest city in the world, by the way? Oh, did I also mention the fact that you get to live in the greatest city in the world, living in Manhattan and commuting to Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, playing in front of those lights, playing under, playing on the same stage as guys like Mark Messier, Wayne Gretzky, and other greats, Brian Leach, Mike Richter. I mean, if you want to win anywhere, they'll build a statue for here for you here in New York if you bring a championship to New York. Oh, by the way, I have Mark Messier here with me, arguably the greatest captain to ever live. This guy advocates for the city of New York, and he'll tell you about his times here and how much he's still adored today, even 22 years past when he won a title. If you bring that to New York, you will also be a legend like him. And also, there are added benefits to living in New York. Off the ice, you can do whatever you want. You can live any type of life because there any lifestyle is accepted here in New York City, and you can do anything in the media business if you want. This is the media capital of the world outside of being the sports capital of the world.
All right. You know, I hope he passes on the Rangers. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not the biggest fan, but Dave, the most important one, the one that's going to count, the one that's going to speak for Leafs Nation, buddy. Pitch Jimmy Vesey to come to TO.
All right. Jimmy, Brendan Shannon here. You may know this guy, you know, our general manager, Lou Lamoriello right here. Head coach Mike Babcock, Kyle Dubas, Mark Hunter, probably the most feared front office in all of the NHL. We will definitely take care of whatever you need, Jimmy. I mean, we got your buddy James Van Riemsdyk, fellow American Austin Matthews. We probably have one of the greatest prospects pool in all the NHL now with guys like Mitch Marner. You got Kasperi Kapanen. You know, even if you don't make the Leafs right away, you got the Toronto Marlies, but who cares? You're going to be with the Leafs next season. The Toronto Maple Leafs have not won a cup since 1967. We all know that. But you give us a couple of years, we will probably build a team that will win at least, a good chance we'll at least win a couple of cups in the next few years if you are willing to take the time and build a great dynasty with us. We've got a really good core group of players. We have players that are willing to do what it takes to win, as you can see with our buddy here, Leo Komarov, who will teach you some other languages if you want to expand on your knowledge. We've also liked your work over at Harvard. We like bringing guys from the NCAA. So come to Canada. Canada's looking for a winner. And if you come to Toronto, you're going to be coming to the most, and I say the most, important hockey market in the world. These guys live, breathe, and sleep hockey. Yes, we got the Toronto Blue Jays. We got the Toronto Raptors. So if you want to meet Drake, we can make that work. You know, we own them as well. So if you want to come to... We own them as well. We pretty much own the city of Toronto. If you want to come to the best hockey market in the world, it is Toronto, and you will be a part of probably the best rebuild plan that's probably going on right now because our owners are willing to take the time and be patient with it. And you'll also get a chance to be a part of a core that will have a lot of flexibility financially moving forward as well. Jimmy, I think the decision's pretty easy. Come to Toronto.
And if you don't, Lou Lamoriello will make sure you don't play hockey again. Simple.
It would be an unfortunate set of circumstances.
Yo, what about the fact that we gave your pops a job and your kid brother a job too?
Yeah.
By the way, your dad's probably said that many times before too, and your brother too. We've already got your brother and dad hooked up for the rest of their lives. Regardless of whether you come
on. Family connection here.
We know how bad your brother is at hockey. He's not very good, but hey, we'll find a spot for him on the Marlies.
We got your family taken care of, if you know what we're saying.
Yeah,
so the choice is yours.
I would love to see him come to Toronto. I mean, who wouldn't, right? That's a Leafs fan. Is there anything else you guys feel we could add in there for VC to come to Toronto?
I mean, I think there's so many different things. I mean, you could just point to – like the reactions that you see during the Raptors playoff run of the Blue Jays and how absurd the buildings get and how loud it is. I mean, did you look at Maple Leaf Square? Imagine that during a Leafs run of the Cup final. Well, look at
Did you not see it in 2012 when the Leafs were in the playoffs?
And they were in the first round.
First round.
Yeah.
It's a deprived fan base, man. Like, they're hungry for a winner.
Exactly.
I'm not even talking the Stanley Cup winner. Just playoffs. That's all they want right now.
I know. And, I mean, you want to talk about just going anywhere and getting known as a celebrity? I mean, I don't know. I don't know his personality. I mean, maybe it's a egotistical person like me. I like that. I would like that if I was an athlete, getting recognized out in public. That would be fun. But
you egotistical, Jake? I wouldn't put that.
Yeah,
I know.
I hide it pretty well.
Not our dear Jacob, man.
I hide
Come
it
on.
Pretty well.
I think, though, from like a hockey perspective too, where else can you better develop your talent than under somebody like Mike Babcock?
Yep.
I feel like that's arguably the best coach possible to help develop his talent.
Exactly.
And even if he was to go down to the Marlies, let's say, if he did, like, I don't know, a short stint with them there, they've got themselves quite the program going right now where he'd even develop there.
I there's no way he's going there, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, like, hypothetically saying.
Yeah, I got you.
In Toronto with the Maple Leafs, who better than Mike Babcock?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the only thing would
automatic be top six spot too.
Maybe Coach Q. I mean, yeah. Obviously you'd play him with Matthews. I mean, there's no other place you'd play him. Like if I'm realistically Toronto, I'm not letting Lou Lamoriello anywhere near that pitch because I don't know. He's got some pretty ancient philosophies, and I feel like they don't recruit in recruiting, even though that's what he was. Even though he's an athletic director at Providence, I mean, the big thing is he recruits. I mean, I'd never put past Lou Lamoriello for getting big-time recruits. I mean, he got Coach Rick Pitino, arguably the best coach in all of college basketball, to go to Providence. College. I mean, they're not a powerhouse by any means in college sports. Obviously they won the NCAA title, but just to get, you know, a guy like Rick Pitino to go to Providence, and he subsequently led them to the Final Four, by the way, was obviously a huge get. I mean, I don't put anything past him. You know, I've doubted him before. I didn't think that Lou would be able to get Babcock, and he did. I mean, the guy's been able to do a lot of great things. So, I mean, I can't put anything past what he'll be able to do.
Well, here, why did you say you wanted to keep him out of the pitch then? You just felt his philosophies are too...
I thought with regards to, like, negotiating a contract or guaranteeing a roster spot, I mean, I think you obviously have to guarantee him a roster spot. I mean, it's ridiculous if you think that you're going to get him and say, oh, you got to come into camp and prove yourself. I mean, obviously, Vizi's not going to be like asking, oh, I want everything handed to me, and if I'm not getting a guaranteed top-line spot without even showing up to training camp, I'm not going to play. I mean, obviously the guy's a pretty big-time competitor. You know, he wanted to stay at Harvard to win them a championship. And, hey, I mean, Harvard, that's another big-time famous program that he wanted to return to glory. So, I mean, makes sense that you get one of the oldest and most recognizable franchises in all of hockey on top. So, I mean, I think it's an original six team he picks. So my three is the Leafs, Chicago, and
Rangers.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this then. What do you guys give him as a contract? Do you max him out with a three-year entry level? Obviously, he can only take an entry level.
Yeah, he's going to get that from every team.
Yeah. So he's basically going to get like a first overall pick.
I think it's 2 years, actually. But yeah.
Is it two?
He doesn't need to get the 3 year.
No, it's two.
Yeah.
So he'll get the two and like maxed out performance bonuses.
Yeah.
You're basically just saying give him whatever he wants.
Yeah,
basically.
I mean, because everybody is going to offer him that. So, I mean, that's the least you could do.
Yeah, okay. Damn, that's a lot of money for a guy. Do you think there's going to be too much pressure on VC wherever he ends up? Like, would a Toronto or New York or Boston not be too much pressure?
I think if he goes to Boston, it would be. I think New York, they can shell him with some of those, you know, the other guys they have there. Chicago, obviously, he would be sheltered. Toronto, they've got a good group of prospects they're bringing in together, which will help keep the spotlight just off of him and putting it on other people. So,
I mean, I think it helps that, I mean, as though I'm criticizing Lou Lamoriello, I mean, the thing the guy is doing for younger players is obviously keeping them out of the spotlight and doing everything to deflect blame to coach Babcock. I mean, that's what Babcock is here for. He's literally here to take all the blame. And even though it's not his blame, last year wasn't his fault. I mean, they just put no talent around him. He's gone out of his way to prove that he needs to get better and that he needs to make the right adjustments. So, I mean, it's also going to help Jimmy that rookies aren't allowed to do interviews, which I think is ridiculous, but that's just his philosophy. And, I mean, I don't know if it's the right one, but it's definitely an interesting one for somebody who's not as media savvy as maybe a college guy is. I mean, they don't get insane amount of press. I don't think he's ever been in a Frozen Four. So, I mean, he's definitely going to be protected by whoever takes him, but I think the Leafs are going to be able to handle it better than any other team would.
Okay. I think the whole not talking as a rookie thing is going to help a lot. But I do feel like, too, that no matter where Jimmy goes, the scrutiny is going to be high because a player like this holding out for as long as he has and then being traded to Buffalo and then still holding out and not signing, I think expectations are just going to be so high for Jimmy Vesey. And if the minute he doesn't live up to them, I'm kind of curious as to how he'll handle it.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the luxury to watch him for all 4 years that he was at Harvard. And, I mean, this kid's legit. Like, in my opinion, a player he really does remind me of is James Van Riemsdyk a lot. And that he's got really, really good hands in tight. He's got a big body. He's a very good skater. Got a really quick wrist shot. And, I mean, he's really intelligent with the puck and uses his body to his advantage. I mean, that's a thing that he was just completely dominant at Harvard, was just using his body to his advantage. He's like 6'3", about 215 pounds, I think. He's a big kid. And, I mean, he...
Well, here, hold on, Jake. Why don't you give us the full-blown scouting report?
All right, sorry. yeah, I mean, as I said, you know, he's really good with the puck. Obviously, you know, he's not the fastest skater, but he's a good skater in tight. I think he's got better quickness than he does overall speed. He's got really good hands in tight, like a James Van Riemsdyk, in that, you know, he can handle the puck in tight spaces and in front of the net, can really work the puck on deflections and stuff like that. He's got a really good wrist shot and a quick release. You know, his release is like kind of akin to Phil Kessel, in that it's kind of, you don't know when it's coming because he just brings it down from the toe of his stick down to the heel and just snaps it on net. I mean, it scored him, I think, 100 goals. And in my opinion, college is the hardest place to compete day in and day out as an 18-year-old. And he did that as a freshman. He succeeded. And then obviously as a sophomore, and his junior year was better than his senior year. And obviously he won the Hobey Baker this year, so he's the best player in college.
Anything else you want to add to your man crush here on Jimmy Vesey?
No, I mean, I also think it helps that if he were to come in, he'd be the number three guy behind Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. I mean, obviously Matthews is the number one overall pick. Like, that's the most hype by far. And then you got the hype that Marner's built with the season that he just had and the debate that people are having whether he should play or not. I mean, obviously, I think it's completely ridiculous he should be playing. But I think it helps that there's going to be so many other kids his age who should take up more headlines than he will.
So you have VC, Marner, Austin Matthews, and Nylander just kind of falling out of the spotlight a bit?
Yeah. I don't think that's a down thing for Nylander. I think it's just, you know, we're kind of addicted to new things, and this is kind of the more recent thing. It's like the recency effect. So obviously we know what Nylander is. He's a fantastic player. I mean, he's probably going to be in the rookie scoring lead next year. I'm guessing like 50 points. And if you looked at him, the way he's been working out this summer, he's 200 pounds now. It's incredible to think that he's gained 23 pounds of muscles, or I think it was 28 pounds since his draft year. He was 172. Now he's at 200 pounds, 5'11". Like, he's a big kid. I mean, he's ready to come in and dominate in the NHL, and obviously he had a really good season last year in his short stint that after his call-up. So, I mean, I think that's why, because we've kind of seen what Nylander's able to do in the NHL, and obviously people are impressed with it, but you're more looking forward to seeing what type of players Matthews and Marner are going to be. And if they get Vesey, you're obviously going to be locked in on what kind of player he can be. So I don't think it's a bad thing for Nylander. I think it's just the recency effect, and people want to see what the more recent kids who haven't done anything yet can do over Nylander falling back in the path. But out of those four, I think he would be the third best player of the four, Nylander, with it Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Vesey.
I'm expecting a huge season from Nylander, and maybe not like 70 points, but I think 50 to 55 points. But I just feel like all the training and everything he's done, I might slide him into that number two slot right now. But I think long-term, Marner is the more high-ceiling guy. But I just think right now, this season, we're going to see a lot from Nylander. Speaking with VC, though, if you do sign him, hypothetically, do you trade James Van Riemsdyk? Does JVR not become tradable then?
I mean, that's a tough question. Obviously, he's one of the better left wingers in all of hockey. U.S. Olympian, will be on the World Cup team. Had a really good season until he tragically got injured with a broken foot that mysteriously kept him out the entire season, but we'll forget that happened. But I mean, he's also on a really good contract. But again, if you're able to get a guy like Jimmy Vesey, who in my opinion is a very similar player to him, it does make him movable. Because, I mean, people want first-line centers. Obviously, big wingers, too, are extremely coveted. I would demand a lot back, say, if he gets traded to a team like the Devils. I'd want, obviously, Severson, maybe a first-round pick, and another winger, another prospect. But the deal I'd focus on is trying to get a guy like Jacob Trouba out of Winnipeg, or Cam Fowler, or Hampus Lindholm, or Sami Vatanen out of Anaheim. I think you have to deal him for a top pairing defenseman.
Dave, would you move JVR if we get Jimmy Vesey, hypothetically?
The tough part is, obviously, I mean, Jake's seen more Vesey than I have, so I can't really say how good he's going to be. But if he comes in and he's as good as Jake says he's going to be, then yeah. I mean, I think the Leafs are short on good defensemen. And if JVR at this point can get you that, there's no reason why you can't make that trade. I know he's on a good contract and he's a good player, but you have to improve other areas of your team, and I think defense is one area that the Leafs still need to improve on. So might as well at this point, you're getting better forward prospects coming in, and JVR's contract is up, I believe, after he has two more years left, if I'm not wrong. So you might as well try to get him when his value is high, and then having, lose his trade value in his pending UFA year. So I guess even if they don't get VC, I would still consider it, depending on how a guy like Nylander, Marner, and some other guys are able to step in. At this point, I think it's better to try and improve other areas than to just overload in one area with like your forwards.
Dave, so I would think of Vesey as the same rookie season as Kevin Hayes. So think about 45, 50 points with maybe 20 goals. That's exactly what I would think of, because they're very similar players, but Hayes is a little taller.
Okay, and that would be a bonus. I mean, you're bringing in a guy, and expectations for me, I always keep expectations low for rookies, just so that they can kind of stay comfortable with their game, but If you get VC, there's no reason why JVR can't be traded, especially to get the cap room, because his is probably the easiest contract to move because he has so much value.
I mean, if you don't get VC, it's very hard for me to deal JVR off this roster right away. I mean, I'm saying like before the season. You need quality older players on the team. I mean, you can't just rebuild with young guys. I mean, obviously, I think JVR is a perfect fit for this team, and I would really hate to see him go. But if a team really gives you an offer you can't refuse, I'm not going to say no to that, because obviously, yeah, he's a great player. But if you're able to get a very similar player in a Jimmy Vesey, then it makes too much sense to say no to that.
Exactly.
If JVR was to stay then, let's say the Leafs get VC and they keep JVR, Would a trio of JVR, Matthews, and VC not make sense to play together, or would you guys split that up?
I mean, I think well, they're obviously – that would all be left-hand shots. So, I mean, they wouldn't play on the same line. I think it would go – obviously, they said that Nylander is playing with Matthews. That's what Coach Babcock said.
Yeah.
I believe him. So we'll see if that comes to fruition for the full season. But if I were to handle it, yeah, I'd go Nylander, Matthews, and then JVR on that line, and then maybe the second line I'd go with Kadri and maybe Mitch Marner, maybe a guy like Leo Komarov or something like that. And you know, it's flexible. Obviously, I think they're three deep in terms of scoring lines, but I think it's going to be really hard to differentiate between which line is going to have more talent, because if Marner makes the team, I don't know where he's going to play. I mean, ideally, what you want with Marner is you want him to play in Toronto for Team Canada and win a gold medal. I mean, this season isn't a make-or-break season for the Leafs. You want them to slowly develop. I think the plan that they have in place for him is that he's going to be up here for the first half. He's going to play his 11 or 12 games, going to be able to practice with the Leafs. Maybe he gets a mystery conditioning stint and gets sent down to the Marlies for a couple games. And they're going to really try and stretch it out so he can play for Team Canada in January. And then when he comes back, they'll make a decision after that, because, I mean, this is a kid that obviously he's very thin. Obviously, it hasn't been a problem for Patrick Kane, but Patrick Kane is a freak of nature. I mean, the guy is literally unhittable. And in my opinion, he's one of the top three players in the entire league. So that's obviously the comparable for him. But again, you never know. I mean, this isn't the OHL. As amazing as season was, it's a big difference between the two leagues. He's not going to be able to dangle around everyone. He's going to get hit too. So I think it's going to be interesting to see him in preseason, and we'll see where it goes from there. If he does incredibly well and steals a spot from an older guy, then so be it. But I wouldn't be too upset with him just being strung along till the World Juniors and then making a decision after that.
Dave, where would you play VC?
I think JVR will be – it would be nice if he could play with JVR. I think considering they're both bigger players, you may want to spread that out, because the Leafs are – I wouldn't say they're lacking size. They've gone guys who have size. Now, you've mentioned Nylander's put on some weight. But I think you want to spread it around. I mean, I don't know where exactly Babcock's going to line up Matthews and Nylander, but if you want VC to learn to play with a veteran guy, then JVR is probably that guy, because they play a similar game. I think you just play it wherever the chemistry is. I mean, I wouldn't force it, but it may just work out that way. So wherever it just works out for him, whether that's on the first line, second line, it's just he has to be the one to kind of dictate that. I'm not going to say he has to play with this guy or he has to do that guy. I don't think Jake's saying that either, but I just say let it roll out through camp, see who he's found chemistry with, and just roll him with that, with those guys. I will say about Marner, though, at this point, I would not think that the Leafs are going to – they may try to stretch out the nine games, but you'd also don't want to harness his development by constantly keeping him off the ice, on the ice, debating when you're going to put him in the lineup, when you're not going to put him in the lineup. I definitely think the World Juniors is going to be where he's going to go. He'll have that time there. But I'm not going to kind of shoo him around the entire season, make him – think whether he's going to get in the lineup or not. If he's good enough, play him. If that means they lose that year of his entry level, it just means that he's played well enough to make the Leafs decide that he's worthy of being on the team for the whole season. Unless he's really struggling in camp, I'm not managing him completely. It's almost like the Aaron Sanchez thing. Just let the guy do his thing, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then you have options that you can work out for him.
Dave, what if he's not good enough? Where are you going to send him?
If he's not good enough, well, obviously there's the conditioning stint, and then if it works that way, They'll know for sure at the beginning of the season. They'll give him the first game. I mean, it depends on how patient they are going to be with him. They're going to be patient, though. But that's the whole conundrum, is you can't send him anywhere other than the OHL unless you give him the conditioning stint, and that only probably works about once. I mean, I don't know how many times you can do that. So as much as it hurts me to put him in London, if that's that's the tough part. But you're not. I don't know how you can keep him around. He only gets 9 games before his entry level goes up. So it's like
I actually think that number is irrelevant. I mean, they clearly showed that they don't care with Nylander. I mean, he could have easily played under 9 games and kept that entry level deal. I think they know what they have in these kids. They know that they're going to be elite players, and they're prepared to pay them. I mean, I think it's safe to say that Mitch Marner is probably going to be an elite player in this league. I mean, no doubt about it. Anybody who puts up points like that, yeah, there's a couple guys, Rob Schremp and Sam Gagne, who haven't had good careers. But, I mean, they had other situations that came in front of them succeeding. But, I mean, I think the real number is the 40-game threshold, which will decide if he gets 1 year closer to free agency. I think that is the real number that they're looking at. And obviously, if he's incredible, you don't care about that number because he's probably going to get a long-term deal after his entry level anyway. But it's something to think about for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really see that as the important number to think about with the 9-game threshold. I mean, unless you have a fringe player, obviously it worked with Mikko Rantanen last year. And Colorado saved a year on his entry level, and last year Pittsburgh really muffed it up by taking Daniel Sprong, who was clearly not ready, and playing him a bunch of games and burning a year on his entry level deal. But I mean, I don't think that's the number that people are looking at. I think it's the 40 games or 45 or whatever it is that determine when you're going to be a free agent, unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, that's probably the other. It's probably the best way of putting it. I just let him do what make him feel comfortable. Don't make him think about you only have this number of games to prove what you're worth, sort of deal. But yeah, I agree that you're just gonna have to just take it game. Well, not game after game, but you're just gonna have to take it in periods and just wait it out.
Final predictions on where VC signs, guys.
As much as a good pitch we probably put for Toronto, my money is probably on the Rangers.
The Rangers, okay. How come?
I think with the younger players they got coming in, they just made that trade for Zibanejad. They seem to be wanting to move away from their veteran players. They want to bring in more youthful talent that they don't have. I think the situation works out better for him there. Than let's say Boston or, well, Chicago would have been my second choice just because of it's an obvious, like, easy decision for him. But I think if he wants to stay in the States and be a star, I think New York's that place for him.
Also, Buchnevich is coming for the Rangers, and he's very, very good. The kid from the KHL, Pavel.
Yeah, Buchnevich. No, yeah, he's good. Yeah. I'm curious to see how he'll pan out here.
I think he's really, really good hands. I mean, he
kind of reminds me of Kuznetsov.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Kuznetsov. Or even a guy like a Nicholas Backstrom in that he doesn't shoot a lot. He's more of a passer. I mean, as much as people like to think that Russians are just the guys that shoot the puck and never pass, I mean, they have rules there where they just pass the puck all the time. And I mean, he's a guy that's a real playmaker. He's an excellent skater. He's obviously gained a lot of strength. I mean, he's still pretty thin. He's about 180 pounds. So he's got some North American weight he's got to add. But I think he's going to be one of the rookie of the year candidates for sure. He's got a lot of talent.
He's super smooth too when he skates out.
Yeah, I mean, I remember him playing against Canada and America and the World Juniors, and he was very, very good. He was dominant.
Where do you think BC's going to end up, Jake?
I, as much as it pains me to say, I got Chicago as my number one. I got the Leafs at 2 and the Rangers at 3. I just think, I mean, just go to a 23-year-old kid who just got out of college. with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves and Duncan Keith and Corey Crawford and Artemi Panarin. I mean, you just look at what they did with Panarin, who's a player of probably pretty similar skill, and just look what they did to him. I mean, they set him up not only with a Rookie of the Year trophy, they set him up with a huge contract down the road. I mean, that's a place where if you are looking to win now and you're looking to get paid in the future, that's the place to go, because they all get paid more than any other place because they win. I mean, people pay for people that win anyway. So even if he's thinking about a second contract, and maybe the Blackhawks can't sign him to that second contract, but if he goes out there, wins a Stanley Cup, and, you know, maybe he gets moved like a Brandon Saad or something like that, at least he's got a cup, and then he can, cash in.
Yeah, that
you literally stole it, doesn't say with that.
No, I totally agree. I think if he does go to Chicago, depending on if his whole future's there, he will be set up perfectly in his NHL career if he goes to Chicago. But I still think New York gives him the best chance to get the spotlight for himself.
You think he's a selfish guy, eh?
Well, I mean, he could have already been for a playoff caliber team in Nashville, who has a very promising future. Now with PK Subban added to that, I think he wants the spotlight. He just wants to be in a market that he wants to be in, that NHL premier or primetime NHL hockey market in the States, or it could even be Toronto. I think maybe that, I don't know if that's the exact reason why, but it seems like he could have had a good situation in Nashville, but he chose elsewhere.
I think he knew after his junior year that he wanted to go somewhere else. I mean, no offense to Nashville, probably, in my opinion, one of the better hockey markets to play in and live in. I mean, it's an awesome spot down there. They got some pretty passionate fans, and, you know, you can live your life. Look at PK Subban. He looks to be having some fun there. But, I mean, I thought he knew that right away. I mean, as you said, he could have been on not only a playoff team, a Stanley Cup caliber team, and he could have played on a team that almost made the finals last year. They lost in Game 7 to the Western Conference champions, and they probably pretty easily could have handled the Blues, who fell off a cliff in that final series. And, I mean, I think he definitely had a place in mind, but obviously this time that he's been able to choose has given him more time to think about his options. I mean, the teams that just never made sense to me were Boston and Buffalo. I mean, Boston, because, yeah, I guess he's from there, but their direction of their team makes no sense to me. I mean, are they rebuilding? Yep. Are they contending? I mean, their good players are getting older. They still haven't re-signed Marchand. They got no defensemen. They got a shaky goaltender, and Rask had a really bad season last year. I mean, they just don't really have a direction. I mean, if I'm a young player, I'd obviously want a direction of where we're going in the future, because, I mean, this is going to be his prime years. He's going to be 23. But, and Buffalo, I mean, yeah, they got some good players and stuff like that. But, I mean, in terms of, like, places to live, you got an opportunity to go to New York, Toronto, Chicago, you know, maybe L.A. if they make a pitch. I mean, that would be very low on my list in terms of, like, a living arrangements. But again, I don't know. I have no idea. I've never met the kid, but, you know, he seems to like the spotlight, considering he's taken it this far and not just straight up said, this is where I'm signing no matter what, once it reaches that date. 'Cause he easily could have just said that and said, trade my rights there so I can sign right away. But I mean, clearly he likes having all eyes on him, which I don't blame.
Yeah. There's no question he likes having all eyes on him. I can't see how there's any way to argue against that when you look at the way his whole process has panned out. He's dragged everything along and had said nothing. And he got traded to the Sabres, and he's kind of just blown them off the whole time. Like, they flew out there, they flew out there, what, last week or 2 weeks ago? And you would have thought that would have been when they're closing the deal and they're going to sign him. They came back empty-handed. So I feel like the Sabres and Bruins, you can cross them off the list. New Jersey, I'm kind of surprised how they slid in there. I know they got a lot of new money, like you were saying, Jake, but I don't know how that would fit for him in terms of the way everything's played out and the spotlight and playing for, like, a bigger team. Like, yeah, they live next to New York, but they're not New York.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that's really, really changed with that, when I went back and thought about it, when you look at New Jersey's prospect pool, I mean, they recruit and draft and sign a ton of kids from the Boston area. I mean, they've got Nick Lappin, who was at Brown University, Miles Wood from Boston College, Steve Santini from Boston College. I mean, they get a lot of young players from that area. So obviously there's a big word of mouth. I mean, it's a great organization. I mean, for people saying there's not great fans or it's not New York. I mean, it's consistently one of the most respected organizations in the sport. And I mean, yeah, sometimes you think, really, are they going to get a key free agent? I mean, that hasn't happened since, you know, the 2000s when they were chasing cups. But I mean, when you really step back and look at it, they have a lot of qualities that make them attractive to a player. And I mean, especially considering that money is not an issue. I mean, I kind of like this system where basically you're basically just recruiting. It's like college. You're getting re-recruited, and the only thing that they can offer you is better facilities, a better way of life, and stuff like that. So, I mean, it definitely gives New Jersey an added advantage. I mean, I know their owner is loaded. I mean, it was great for the team to get bought by such a rich owner who's committed to winning, and that helps, but obviously, when you're not having to pitch against the Rangers and Leafs who have unlimited money, it helps them a lot. So, I mean, I thought about that, and it just made sense to me considering all the college kids and especially Boston kids that they recruited. I'm sure they're friends because they seem to all know each other somehow.
Well, that's an interesting connection. I never knew that New Jersey was that heavily involved in recruiting in Boston.
Yeah, Ray Shiro's, I believe his son was at Boston College or something like that. And, you know, it's just a really, really tight-knit community, hockey community there. Because Boston, I mean, for people that think it's this big city, I mean, it's smaller than Mississauga. I mean, it's 500,000 people. You know, it's kind of like a smaller city, but it's got a big area surrounding it. So, but yeah, I mean, those Boston guys, they definitely stick up for each other and look out for each other. So I think that helps.
I totally agree. For me, my final prediction with Jimmy would be Chicago. I hate to sound like cliche, but I don't see how Chicago is not the best opportunity for him. And you look at what you were saying, Jake, with Artemi Panarin, the way they developed this guy, and they even took care of him with his performance bonuses. They could have easily sat him out the last game and, you know, told him to piss off and not get his bonus. They let him play. He got that. They loaded it. They gave him all these opportunities to make more money, which is pretty much what VC is going to want based on how long he's held out here. I don't see how playing in Chicago wouldn't be the best thing for him.
Yeah, I mean, it makes too much sense. I mean, they really showed it when I believe it was on NBC that they did a thing, a little story on how much Kane has meant to Panarin and the points he has with Kane and without Kane. Obviously, Panarin's a great player, but Kane helps that a lot. I mean, I think I'd get 30 points playing with a guy who had 105. I mean, it just helps that much. And I'm not saying that he's a complete product of Patrick Kane, but hey, that'd be a pretty nice guy to ride shotgun with.
Well, even if he doesn't ride shotgun with Kane, I mean, look at Taze.
Which I don't think he would. I don't think they're going to split up that Russian plus Kane line.
Me neither. I think he played with Taze because Hoss is getting older. Ladd's gone. There's always been that looming void up on the top line there with Taze,
yeah.
And maybe VC could fill that.
Yeah. They also got some pretty good kids coming from, unfortunately, North Dakota, who beat my Quinnipiac Bobcats in the NCAA final. They had Nick Schmaltz on that amazing line with Brock Besser, that BBC line that is just going to be really good. Nick Schmaltz is a really good player. So I expect him to play in that lineup too. And there's some other kids from college that should come in and get some ice time. I mean, they're obviously reloading, but they're still going to be as good as usual.
They got quite the program there, North Dakota. I'll give them that, man. They've been a lot of Final Fours.
Yeah, exactly.
Frozen Fours.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly.
Before we wrap this whole VC thing up, is there anything else you guys want to touch on?
Yeah, actually, there was just a update I got from Bleacher Report saying that Jimmy VZ narrows it down to six teams, according to the Boston Herald. They didn't really go on to list those six teams, but I'm assuming it's the six teams that we actually did today. So looks like there's nobody else outside of that.
Yeah, I saw that update as well as we're going here, and I think it is the six teams we mentioned. I don't see why it wouldn't be. Like, is there really any surprise team that could pop into this?
I think the one that I can think of would be, yeah, either Pittsburgh or maybe L.A., but I don't see it.
I feel like L.A. is too far from home for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different kind of life over there, and I think he's obviously a kid that's stayed around the Northeast, so I think it's generally within the geographic northern United States, and obviously L.A. is pretty far south, so.
Okay. Dave, any final words here you want to throw in on BC?
I'm just wondering if the decision is going to come right on August 15th when the deadline of when he becomes a free agent happens, or if it drags on in any way.
I think it will take a day or two.
Yep.
They usually always do. Like Kevin Hayes decided in, I think, a day, and Justin Schultz took a day. I believe it was the same day.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to set the line at what? Tuesday evening, over-under?
I think 1.5 days. I'm going to take slightly over, I think 2. It depends on if he gives everyone their pitch, because I remember with Edmonton or with Schultz that they gave only two teams a shot at him. It was the Leafs and then Edmonton, and then he signed with Edmonton.
I'm taking the under. I think he signs first day.
It would be really interesting to see who each team brings to their pitch meeting. I mean, I want to know who the Leafs would bring.
Well, who do you think they would bring?
I obviously think they're bringing the scouts. I mean, obviously, would you bring his dad?
I'd bring his dad and his brother.
Really? I don't think I'd bring
his brother. First-hand experience.
I don't know if I'd bring his brother. I think that'd be kind of a crappy move to just bring his family there and tell him to do that. I wouldn't bring his family at all. I'd bring the three big guys in Babcock, Lamoriello, and Shanahan. And
Mark Hunter?
No, I mean, he's player personnel, so, I mean, it's not really, he picks the guys. Obviously, he told him he's pretty good, so. Then maybe I'd bring a guy like Morgan Riley, and I don't even know if you could bring Austin Matthews, because he's never really been and lived in Toronto or played there, so.
Yeah, he just got there.
I mean, obviously, you could just say, we have Austin Matthews, so.
I do feel like they'll have a pretty good vibe of what is interesting to Jimmy Vesey, and if family is something that's important to him, I think bringing the family along would help. But if it's not and it's just strictly hockey, then yeah, leave them at home. But I think they'll have a pretty good vibe of what to bring.
I wonder if you call in a guy like either a Jeff O'Neill or a Matt Sundin or a Doug Gilmore or a Wendell Clark. Yeah, like any of the legends to come out. Daryl Sittler. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it'd be interesting because I have a feeling if New York is doing it, and I know New York, they always bring out the best, and they're definitely bringing Messier. I'll guarantee that.
Yeah, how could they not, right?
Exactly. I mean, the guy is literally New York. They can say he's from, you know, Western Canada, but he's the epitome of New York. The guarantee, everything like that. So
I was just gonna say, once you guarantee and you win, and you bring a Stanley Cup after,
you're a legend.
Yep, forever.
Exactly. Maybe even Lundqvist too. That'd be a pretty solid guy. I mean, he's showing how awesome it is to live and play in New York based on his life. Yeah, exactly. He actually is rock star too. So
yeah, he's a hell of a musician. He's the king, man. He can do a whole bunch
of things.
Well, I think we've covered pretty much everything Jimmy Vesey here. We almost got an hour of Jimmy Vesey talk, which is awesome in itself. Jimmy, if that doesn't tell you how much Toronto loves you already, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, dude. We've been talking about you for weeks, but on that note, we'll wrap this up. The deadline is August 15th, where Jimmy Vesey will sign, so stay tuned with that. As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can follow myself on Twitter at Chris O'Kranitz. You can follow Jake at JakeMiddleton12. You can follow Dave at D_Morisuti. If you like what you're hearing, subscribe to us on iTunes and SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. Thanks again for listening, guys, and enjoy the Jimmy Vesey sweepstakes. Take care.
Toronto is proud, happy to select, promote.
Knights, Mitch Marner.